thought it would be good to hear Sienna for one last time, so I'm going to ask her to come and read the first 18 verses of Psalm 71. If you'd like to turn to Psalm 71, please.
In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. You have given me commandments, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the grasp of the wrongdoer and ruthless man. For you are my hope, O Lord, you are my confidence from my youth. By you I have been sustained from my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have become a marvel to many, for you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies have spoken against me, and those who watch for my life have consulted together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is no one to deliver. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, hasten to my help. Let those who are adversaries of my soul be ashamed and consumed. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek to injure me. But as for me, I will hope continually, and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long, for I do not know the sum of them. I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and grey, O God, do not forsake me, until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are come.
Thank you, Sienna, very much indeed. I'm going to speak from these 18 verses of this psalm, Psalm 71, on this last Sunday of 2023. I trust there will be something here which the Lord will speak to you personally about, maybe as well as the church, and more widely even than that, we will see. The context of this psalm, the immediate context, is unknown. Some of the psalms, if you read at the start of the psalm, before verse 1, actually explains to you the specific circumstances that psalm was written. Here we don't know that immediate context, but we do know from the psalm that we've heard, part of it that we've heard, that it is a defining moment in David's life. He is entering a new season. He's entering a new time, and he refers back to what has come up to this time. He looks ahead and he makes decisions in the light of what has happened and in the light of what is going to come. He makes decisions in the present. The two particular contexts generally that he's referring to are, first of all, old age. So verse 9, do not cast me off in the time of old age. And verse 18, now also when I am old and grey-headed. Now that's what the Authorised Version says. So it could well be that this is a time that he's actually in that period of old age, whenever that begins. And don't try and guess it yourselves. But it could be that it's approaching that time. The New American Standard, which was read to us, says, even when I am old, or the ESV says, so even to old age. So it may be that David is anticipating this change, or this new era into which he is coming. Now, before those of you who are, say, under 80, yeah. I don't know, 85, 90, rule yourself out of anything that I'm going to be saying as from now. Can I just remind you, say, of one scripture, just to give you one, in the New Testament, John 21, verse 18, when Jesus says to Peter something that's going to happen at the end of his life. And this is what he says. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and you walked wherever you wanted to. So, obviously, a mark of you, you know, you make your own decisions, you think you've got all the freedom that you have, that you like, you need, and you don't need anybody else to make your decisions for you. That is a mark of youth and immaturity. When you were young, you girded yourself and you walked where you were, but when you shall be old, now listen to this, you will stretch forth your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not want to go. So, generally speaking, old age can be characterized by a period in which we are taken in a direction we don't necessarily want to go, and we are reliant on the help of others. Just to give you two marks of this old age. Now, friends, you may be, it doesn't matter what age you say you are, I suggest to you that you are going to come in the new year into a new period, into a new season. I certainly feel that as a church. And I wonder actually even whether in the country as a whole, even the Western democracies, as we sometimes call them, whether we are reaching the end of a season, the end of another era, and we're coming into something of this old age, this end of an era, this time when actually others are going to be directing us and taking us in the direction which we do not want to go in. We will have to see. Certainly, I think that at this last Sunday of 2023, it's good to consider where we've come from, the decisions we need to take in the light of what may be coming. It's good for us to take stock. And so that is what I'm going to do, God willing, as we look through something of these verses in Psalm 71. In a moment, I said there were two contexts. The first is old age, the second is personal attack. So just look to verses 10 to 13. For my enemy speak against me, and those that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Friends, we may not know the specific nature of the attack, but we are aware that we are under attack. We are aware that there are those that are speaking against us, and we are those, certainly David was, that there were those who were waiting for his soul. And there were those that actually were feeding his lies and saying, God, look at it, verse 11, God has forsaken him. There is none to deliver him. I don't know whether over this last year, whether even recently, you have been in a situation where you are aware of the lies of the enemy. It may not be a physical attack, for David it was, but maybe you have been fed lies that say, look, God isn't able to save you, is he? God isn't able to provide accommodation for you in Potsdam, is he? He is, isn't he? Thank God. Friends, don't listen to those lies. Don't listen to them. Hold up that shield of faith and trust in the Lord. This was David's situation, and you and I may well be in that, or certainly come into it. And so, in the light of that, David makes decisions and resolutions, even one might say, which we'll look at shortly. But before that, let's look back. See how David looks back. So, verse 5. The second part of verse 5. I have to say, that's before I look at this, that this psalm's got particular relevance for me, not because I'm old, but because it's many years ago, going through a difficult period in my life, and with some challenges, the Lord gave this psalm to me. And just yesterday I was saying, now Lord, what do I speak on today? I just felt the Lord saying, give this psalm. I spoke about it actually fairly recently on a men's day, but in a totally different way. So if you were there and heard me speaking on the psalm, wake up. The end of verse 5. O Lord, you are my confidence from my youth. You are my trust. If you've got the authorized version, it says, you are my trust. You are my confidence. You are my assurance. Literally, you are my refuge from my youth. So David looks back and he sees that right up to this time, he's been able to trust the Lord. He's been able to put his confidence completely in God, and that God has been a refuge for him. Can you look back this year and say that about the Lord? I trust that you can. Or maybe, as you look back, and I encourage you, you know, I really do want to encourage you to take stock. Maybe you look back and actually you're saying, Lord, I'm not putting my trust in you. I don't confide in you. I don't have that assured relationship with you as I know you want me to have. And friends, if that's the situation, please take the challenge of it and come to a place now where you say, where you confess to the Lord, you say sorry to him for not trusting him, and that you purpose in your heart to do so from now on. Because in a way, how can you make the New Year resolution, if I can call it like that, or whatever decisions you need to take now, unless you can look back and say, Lord, this is what you've been to me over the last 12 months. For David, the Lord was his confidence from his youth. Secondly, verse 6, by you I have been sustained from my birth. You are he that took me from my mother's womb. So he's looking back and knowing that God has upheld him and God has taken a hold of him. That God is somebody that he has been able to lean on with absolute assurance. Isn't that tremendous? And my friends, I know for a fact that there are those listening to me this morning, and you know that God has upheld you this year. And one of the wonderful things about the Lord is the promises that he makes time and time again is, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Speaking to Israel, but that could be personal to you. I will uphold you. Friends, as we come to a new year, be assured of that fact. God can uphold you. And you can lean on him with confidence. And then, looking back, verse 17. I'm going to jump around a little bit to start off with, and then take various sections a little bit more, verse by verse. But verse 17. Oh God, you have taught me from my youth. Can you look back and say, yes, Lord, you have taught me. Do you know how God teaches you? Are you able to recognize God teaching you? Do you know how God wants to teach you in his word, particularly? And I flag up, I think that Neil has already done so, but sometime in the early few months of this coming year, we're going to put on a series of meetings, or put on a course, if you like, designed to do just that, to help you to know how God wants to teach you. Your reliance must not be on other people the whole time to tell you what to do. That's a mark of old age. It's a mark of immaturity, really, as well. Childhood and immaturity. God wants you to grow up so that you know him and you can be taught by him and you can recognize his voice. And certainly in the days and months ahead, we're going to need to know what God is saying to us and how to recognize the voice of God. Oh God, you have taught me from my youth. Are you able to look back and say, Lord, you have taught me? Again, and God's ability to teach is without question. The question is, have you been turning up for lessons? Have you been listening? And if you haven't been, then you need to say again, you need to confess that to the Lord and put that right, resolve in your heart to want to learn how to recognize what God is saying to you. Only then can you really move on from here. So that's the last thing. So what are the what are the decisions? So David is anticipating a time of restriction, a time of change, a time of challenge, times of difficulty, and he looks back and with the faithfulness of God, and in the light of those two things, he then says certain things. And I don't think you can remember them all, but I would just encourage you just to give heed to whatever the Lord is particularly underlining for you this morning. First of all, verse 1, in you I have taken refuge. Past tense, the New American Standard Version, that is, and Authorized Version, in you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Can I make it present tense and let's make it taking refuge. So, you know, trusting the Lord is the first decision that he makes. And when he says trusting the Lord, it is an active decision that you make with the will. You know, sometimes, I don't know whether you've sort of heard people saying, oh, well, I'm trusting God. And it's kind of a mystical, kind of gooey feeling that we kind of think we have to wait for in order for us to feel that we can trust God. Yes, I'm really feeling I'm trusting God. Well, friends, you may not feel that you can trust God, or that you are trusting, that you make the decision to do so. What is that decision? You go to God, you flee to him for refuge. You make him your refuge. So with the prospect of challenges ahead, you say, Lord, I am running to you. I am coming to you. Now you need to say that to God. Don't just wait for the feeling to happen. Don't wait for the circumstances to impel you to do so. Do it now, before the circumstances arrive. In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Again, in the New American Standard, slightly different. Let me never be ashamed. Actually, these opening verses of Psalm 71, you will find them in Psalm 31, at the very start of that psalm, and that is where you will find the words, let me never be ashamed, if you use a King James or a New King James Version. Let me never be ashamed. So here, it is to do with being in a situation where we need not be ashamed of anything. So such is our relationship with the Lord, that we have a clear conscience and that there is no confusion. Certainly that's something I think we can pray for, very much so, coming up to this year. Lord, please don't let me be confused. Don't let me be uncertain as to the direction that I need to go. Lead me. Let your word be a lamp to my feet and a light to my paths. Can also mean, do not let me be disappointed or troubled or disturbed. There is a shame that comes particularly from having to wait. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, the proverb says. And so part of this word here, this end of verse 1, is, Lord, please give me the courage to be able to wait on the Lord. Maybe a little bit more of that later on. And then a prayer of deliverance. Deliver me. But will you notice it says, please, deliver me in your righteousness. Just as the Lord upholds us with his righteousness, with the right hand of his righteousness, so he delivers us in his righteousness. And my friends, the Lord is not obliged to rescue you or to intervene in your life if he sees that there is unrighteousness there. The only time that he will do that is if there is a cry of repentance, calling out to God for salvation. And if you haven't yet done that, I would encourage you to do that. If you're sitting there and you know there are things between you and the Lord that are not right, call out to the Lord for repentance. But if you are right with the Lord, you can say, Lord, deliver me in your righteousness. And then he says, in your righteousness, deliver me and save me. And then he says, incline your ear to me and save me and rescue me. Let me read verse 2 again. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. And then in verse 3, the next sort of resolution that he makes, the things that he, something he purposes in his heart. He says, be to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. There are a few things there to unpack. First of all, God is a rock. And as we go into a new year, dear friends, realize that, remember that. God is your rock. That word for a rock is a particular word that actually describes a boulder on the edge of a cliff or a precipice. So without wanting to assume that you will be that this coming year, if you do find yourself on the end of a cliff or a precipice in your life, I mean, there is a rock there that you can lay hold of. God is that rock. And then he says, be to me a rock of habitation. That is to say, we need to abide in that rock. Now, I'm sorry if you can't get your head around this. Let me give you at least the nearest analogy I can give to you, which is that on one occasion, Moses was told by the Lord to stand on a rock. And actually, that rock had been cleaved, was split. And of course, prophetically speaking, that's speaking about the Lord Jesus. He was the rock that was split. He was the rock that was cleft into in order that you and I might find a place of safety. And it was in that place of being on that rock that there was a place of safety for Moses. God said to him, I will cover you with my hand and I will protect you. My friends, that is the place of real safety. That is the rock of habitation where you need to go. Where God is covering you. Where God is protecting you. Friends, if God is protecting you, then no matter what happens to you, you'll be okay. Be to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. And that's the challenge. Friends, how often have you come to the Lord as your rock this last year? You see, it's easy for us to say, well, Lord, thank you that you are my rock. Yeah, that's true, he is. But you need to come to him. Again, exercise the will. Here's David saying, be to me that rock to which I may continually come. Actually, into which I may enter, literally. And then he says something extraordinary, I think. Incidentally, can I just, if you look at Psalm 31, I would encourage you to, over the next couple of days or so, perhaps, as we come to the end of the year, begin another, maybe go through the Psalm yourself, but look at Psalm 31, verse 2 there. It will speak about a rock of strength, a fortified place, literally, a defense. So friends, make God your strength. There are so many scriptures which speak about the need to make the Lord your strength. He is your strength, make him your strength, so that you can have a testimony and say, the Lord is my strength. All the enabling that you need is to be found in him, praise God. It's there in verse 7 as well. For you are my strong refuge. And then back to verse 3, the end of verse 3, halfway through, says something I think is absolutely extraordinary. It says there that you have given commandment to save me. Now, if I had been writing this psalm, I wouldn't have said that. I would have said something like this: be to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. You are able to save me, please give commandment to do so. Or you might say, I trust in your ability to save, and that you will at some point in the future give me the commandment to do so. No, here it says, you have given commandment to save him. This is past tense. Again, this is something of the rock on which we may stand. Now friends, whatever situation we go into in this year, God has given commandment to save us. In principle. That is to say, our salvation in Christ is assured. He has saved us, he is saving us, and he will save us. It's not just some vague wishful thinking. He has given commandment to save us. So you can certainly go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm approaching this difficult time. Whatever. Lord, you have given commandment in Christ. You have said you are able to save me to the uttermost. Please, would you do so? Do you see what I'm trying to say? Some of you can. Others of you just try to get your heads around it. Well, think about it. This is the scripture. This is the rock on which you can stand. God's ability to save you and to keep you. You've given commandment to save him. Why does he say that? He says, because you are my rock and my fortress. And then the prayer in verse 4. For deliverance. Rescue me, oh my God, out of the hand of you, get out of the grasp of the wrongdoer and ruthless man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. And so there is this other resolution, this recognition of the fact that God is our hope here. Friends, when it says that God is our hope, it means therefore that we can wait on the Lord. Let's just look to verse 14. Because he says, as for me, I will hope continually. So, having seen the kind of statements that David is making for the present, the things that he's determining to do, he now looks ahead in the light of what they come, and he makes certain, if you like, resolutions, or recognises there are certain things that he can do. And the first thing is here is this matter of hope. I will hope continually. Now would you notice please in verses 14, I think right through to the end of 16, the number of times the word will occurs. And friends, you and I need to engage our will. We cannot afford to be passive Christians. There are certain things and certain times, then as I was encouraged to hear the way that she led the worship, really, you know, the way that Paul and Silas, in that difficult situation, it said they prayed and they praised the Lord. No doubt they were praying like mad to start off with, but they got through to a place where they were praising the Lord. And here is David engaging his will, as Paul and Silas no doubt had to do with all the rats there. And here's David saying, I will hope continually. Notice again the word continually. These things are to be ongoing. I wonder whether for some of you this year, some of us this year, that there are certain things that the Lord wants to establish in our lives as something to be ongoing, so that we don't hope in the Lord occasionally, but we hope in the Lord continually. Engage your will to that end, dear friend. That word hope does not mean, of course, a vague expectation, wish that things will get better. No, when it says, the Lord is my hope, it means that the Lord is somebody on whom I can put my trust and my confidence. It means that I can expectantly wait on the Lord, expectantly wait for the Lord with patience. Do you remember the number of times it says in the Psalms, I waited patiently for the Lord, I waited on the Lord? It's all the same thing, really. And so there are going to be times we're going to need to learn patience. And in those times, set your hope on the Lord. Lord, I don't know how long this is going to take, but I'm going to trust you. You're going to work out your purposes for me. I will hope continually. Second thing he determines to do. We've heard it already this morning, so I'm not going to go on any more about it. Verse 14, second one of us. I will praise you yet more and more. Verse 15. Testify to God's righteousness and salvation. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all the day long. For I do not know the sum of them. I do not know their limits. The New American, the New King James puts. Their number is past my knowledge, the English Standard Version there. verse 15. Friends, God wants to give you a testimony. God wants to use your mouth to speak of Him, His righteousness, and His salvation. And then verses 16 to the end, really, 16 to 18. Knowing the strength of God. I will go in the strength of the Lord. Your version may have, I will come with the mighty goodness of the Lord. I'm going to take that in a kind of, in one sense, as a testimony. The Lord wants to intervene in your life in such a way that you can say, Lord, I've seen the mighty deeds of the Lord. But it's also a determination that you will go in the strength of the Lord God. As you go into 2024, friend, suggest that you make this a New Year's resolution. If nothing else so far, go in the strength of the Lord. Do everything in the strength that the Lord gives you. Literally, God's might. And proclaim it. And then, verse 17, O God, you have taught me from my youth, we've already covered that, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. Verse 18, and even when I am old and grey, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. Friends, I don't know what's going to happen for you, or for me, or for us as a church this year. But it will be easy for us to be self-centered and self-absorbed and think, you know, as long as I just get through, as long as the church we somehow manage to scrape through, as long as we're here in a year's time in Brandy Village Hall, same number of chairs, same number of people, etc. Yeah, that'll be all right. But friends, David isn't saying that. What he's saying is, given the background of this, given the fact that he is entering a new season at a time of real uncertainty, a time when others may be taking him in a direction that he doesn't want to go in, at a time when our country may be going in a direction that we don't like, or that we don't find easy or comfortable in, a time when our personal circumstances may find that we actually rely on others far more than we ever thought we needed to. It's not enough just to get by. David is saying, I want to have a testimony. Do not forsake me because I want to declare your strength to this generation. Now, isn't that what you meant? I certainly do. To be able to have a testimony to other people, to be a living witness when everything else is collapsing around us, to be able to say, to be able to testify verbally and with our lives, actually, that God is upholding us, that God is keeping us, that God knows the future and He will take us in to all that He has for us in the new year, not for our sake just, but so that we may declare His power to this generation and to the next generation. God does not want to leave Himself without a witness. Well, I don't know whether any of that has spoken to you. I trust that there's been something there that you are able to lay hold of. As I was able, by the grace of God, many years ago, to lay hold of something of those open verses. Lord, I'm coming to you for refuge. I can't cope on my own. Lord, let me never be ashamed. Don't let me be put to confusion. Deliver me in your righteousness and be that rock for me this year of habitation that I may dwell there. It's all to do with abiding in Christ, and I'm going to enter into that rock by faith in the Lord Jesus. Make these things your prayers, my dear friends. Purpose in your heart as you take stock, as you look back, as you anticipate what might happen. Make those right decisions now. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you so much that known to you are your works from the foundation of the world, that you see the end from the beginning, that you see where we've come from this last year, individually and corporately as a church, and you know where we're going. You know the direction that we're heading. And Father, where any of us need to be brought up short as we look back and consider actually that we haven't trusted you as we should, please have mercy on us. Please save us from just drifting into the new year, drifting through the year, and finding ourselves overtaken by events. Father, help us to purpose in our hearts that the scriptures that we read should be our life, should be written upon our hearts. Help us to engage our will, and help us to make those right decisions now as we enter this new year. And we do pray again that you would watch over us, that you would lead us. Lord, do not forsake us, we pray. Do not abandon us. May each one of us know your presence in a more real way than we've ever known before, so that others may see and hear. We give you all the glory and the praise. We want to honour you, Lord. We want to glorify you. And we bless you again for bringing us to this point in time. And thank you we can commit ourselves into your hands for 2024. Blessed be your name. Amen.